A Yale study published in Science Robotics has demonstrated a powerful new kind of sensor based on magnetic sensing technology, which could be used to make RoboSkin. To find out more about this and other science news of the week, Rowan Neagle from Radio Adelaide's Subatomic joins us now. Welcome back to the show, Rowan.
Hey, thanks for welcoming me back. And there's more people in the studio than I anticipated today.
That's right. It's beautiful and warm in here.
Nice and toasty. A good way to sort of start off this thing, because it's our skin that keeps us sort of protected from the elements.
Mm-hmm. We'd be dead without it.
Oh, yeah, super dead. We need that to stop all the horrible bugs from coming in. It's a good way to sort of thermoregulate, sense, feel the pressure. And that's what we need to sort of step up in terms of our prosthetics. When it comes to robo arms in the future, the biggest thing to sort of nail down is your ability for feedback. Mm-hmm. When you put your hand on a table and you push it down, you feel that pressure sort of coming back. And without that in a robo arm, you're just going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing without really noticing. You might use excessive strength, you might use too much, you might damage your arm, so you need that feedback. And that's kind of what the Yale study was trying to accomplish, trying to find a much more efficient way to feel things. And they did this using magnets, a very specialized kind of magnet, and using air gaps within this material that they were using. So the basic principle behind it is that when you put pressure on something, it sort of distorts the material in such a way that it feels a little bit of that magnet sensation of the magnets sort of lodged in the air gap. And that allows it to feel things very, very, very sensitively, if that's a word. So they managed to actually test it on multiple things, such as an ant crawling across its surface. And they were actually capable of feeling an ant across like this material. They see the little perturbations in the magnet. And that's really useful for not just that, or detecting droplets of water, which is going to be, you know, you want to be nice and sensitive when you're feeling pressure in the future, when you have all those robo arms to do all your robo tasks with.
That almost sounds like a contradiction, a sensitive robot.
A sensitive robot, a warm, loving, sensitive robot, or a robot that can feel every change in pressure in the air. You can never hide.
Look, what does the skin look like? I'm curious to know. I'm thinking about like a sort of a shiny metallic mirror thing.
Mirrorable. It's much more flexible than that. It's quite elastic. And they kind of like had to develop their own kind of materials for it. But this kind of skin paves the way for robotics in the future. And we did talk about RoboSkins. RoboSkins are terrifying, but also great. You can wrap them around things and they basically turn into robots that can feel where they're wrapped around and feel their location. And they can understand where they are and understand how to crawl using that. So if you've got a couple of cups of tea lying around, you can sort of chain them together with this RoboSkin, and then your cups of tea can learn to crawl towards you, which is probably terrifying, but also can be very useful. This kind of technology is being developed more so for astronauts, because when you go to space, you don't have really... It's like a $10,000 to a kilo to transport into space. You know, it's a very, very costly kind of effort. So you want something lightweight, something that's multi-purpose, something that you could use for everything. And RoboSkins sort of come into that respect. You can use them and wrap them together, or use objects as skeletons to make your own little... Sort of really cheap robot, but really sort of multi-purpose robot. You can make tentacles out of it. You wrap enough sort of cylindrical objects together using the RoboSkins as sort of like a muscle fiber in skin. It can understand where it is in space and be able to move around and understand its orientation relative to each other. They can network. So it's a very innovative sort of way to approach robotics in space. And with this sensing technology, it's much more capable of feeling things much more with much more sensitivity than usual.
And what about its use for non-space, such as prosthetics in humans?
It's definitely got that capability where you can just wrap it around anything and it can sort of act as a sensor. If you did have like a a hook arm. I don't know. I'm thinking back to Wild Wild West with the guy with the blade arms. I always thought about the logistics of that. Like, how did he do anything? But say you had a blade arm, you're a top-notch supervillain and you had a blade arm, but you wrap some of these prosthetics around your blade, you could be able to feel the pressure if you had some feedback between the blade and you. So at least you'd have some form of sensing. also sort of helps itself in terms of sensing in other respects. There was a demonstration video of these RoboSkins on someone's back. They just put a bunch of patches on someone's back, and it could tell when someone had good posture. Whenever they leant forward and slouched, it felt like that stretch. It felt like the contortion, and it went, yeah, that's not a good posture. We'll alert through our computery sort of language. You've got bad posture.
Wow. So, but it's not at the point where it will then forcibly correct your back.
No, we're not at that point where it's... I mean, it would make for a very interesting chiropractor, let's put it that way.
We'll get there eventually, I'm sure.
Yeah, robopractors.
We're speaking with Rowan Neagle from Radio Adelaide's Subatomic about This Week in Science. Now, scientists may have accidentally discovered how plants are able to communicate danger signals within their bodies.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's really interesting because plants are capable of understanding when they're being damaged. They're like, oh, something's nibbling at me. That's not good. Mm. So I'm going to release a bunch of fun chemicals to sort of ward it off. How does it signal that? And that's what the research has currently found out. A team at the Department of Biochemistry and Molecular Biology at Saitama University in Japan, they found that it wasn't... They were trying to find how gravity affects plants. They managed to develop a molecular signal, something that attaches to calcium, and sort of the more calcium there is, the more it lights up under a microscope, basically. And they were trying to track how calcium sort of changes as the plant is affected by different kinds of gravity. And instead, they found that there's this actual signaling system that a plant uses when it's in danger, when it realizes something's damaging it or nibbling away. And they found that by initially just like cutting leaves on a plant, just like with scissors. Like, it sounds so basic, but they're like, snip. All right, let's see how that works. Oh, there's an actual signal system. Starts where the damage occurs, and it sort of spreads throughout the entire plant.
Are we talking electronic signals? What kind of signal?
Chemical signals.
Chemical signals.
Primarily. And yeah, when it comes to electronics and chemistry, it's a bit blurry because you've got electron interactions between different elements. So I'd say it's mostly chemical. But that's also found in humans as well, that kind of signaling. It's how cells also communicate with each other through these calcium channels. The ability for the calcium to sort of act as a sort of like a chain effect. That's the word.
Yeah.
So it's capable of actually spreading this to nearby neighbors, and those neighbors go, oh, we've got something here. We're going to spread it to our neighbors. And you've got like a... Yeah, that's how it basically works. It passes from one end to the other. And that's really important in terms of how this hasn't really been discovered yet. We knew something happens. We knew that there was a trigger, and somehow it passed this warning signal from one end of a plant to another, where they secrete some sort of a deterrent for whatever's trying to eat it, or maybe even sort of release something else or some other kind of response, whether they're trying to protect their nutrients or... whether they're trying to release an even better smell to attract bigger predators to attack the things that are attacking it. It's nature's complicated.
I wonder how far those messages would go. Like, I'm thinking of a really big, you know, elm tree or something, and one of its twigs gets broken off or something like that. Will that message pass all the way down to, you know, the very roots of the tree, or will it only go to, like, where the, you know, the twig meets the branch, because that's the only part of the tree that really needs to worry about it. I don't suppose you know any of this, but this is the kind of tree philosophy and science we need to be considering. Well, just how much do they feel?
Do you know, trees are so amazing, because I have read before, it's a slight little bit different from the leaf damage thing, and you would know this, Rowan, when a tree is under some kind of threat, they can actually signal to other trees. They can release chemicals into the air, so another tree can receive that and go, well, I have to deal with this now, and releases a chemical to deal with.
Yeah,
a fungal problem or a infestation.
It's generally fungus that actually helps them connect as well. They can actually communicate through the fungus that is within the ground, which is one of those really cool things. There's like a fungal network, a fungal internet that trees use to signal from one end of the forest to the other. So there is so much to nature that we still are trying to understand, all the ways they communicate to each other, and whether it's through air dispersal or through fungus or through just, you know, your local. This research was done on a mustard plant. So they haven't moved to trees yet. Maybe it's different. Who knows?
Maybe the NBN should have a look at it.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah, no ants here. But yeah, it's one of those really cool things that have been found, and maybe this could help us with triggering signals in plants in future. Say you have one of the ideas I was thinking of was if you have crops and you want to know when bugs are eating at your crops. And so you make it so it might secrete something that's red. So when you go out to your crops and you're trying to find out like where your crops are getting eaten by like a pest problem, you could see by the red tag that, oh, they're all in this area, so I only need to crop dust this part of my crop. So that makes it much more efficient, much more targeted, and, you know, saves on the farmer.
Wow. So computer interface with plants and maybe give a few some robo skins just for, you know, a bit of extra sensitivity.
Put it on the tree so trees can move.
Fantastic. What a world. Well, Rowan, thank you for coming in and joining us again. It's been a pleasure as always.
Oh, it's always fun to come in here and breakfast.
And you can catch Rowan and his co-host on Radio Adelaide. The program is Subatomic every Tuesday from 7 p.m. You're listening to Breakfast on Radio Adelaide.